Hare Krishna. So for last 6 days we had been conducting this seminar on the pastimes of the Marjada Purushottam, Sri Ramchandra. And yesterday we covered most of the Yuddha Kanda or Lanka Kanda. Ravan, we discussed up to how Ram killed Ravan, and then he coronated, arranged for the coronation of Bibhishan, and then Sita was brought in. Sita Devi, in order to prove her purity, Sita Devi entered into the fire, which is known as Agni Pariksha, the fire test. And at that time, Agni Dev himself appeared and declared the purity of Sita Devi. And along with that, all the demigods, along with Brahma, also came and mentioned about her purity. In this context, we discussed about one incident that had been revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he came across a Ram Bhakta. And Ram Bhakta was lamenting about abduction of Sita Devi. How could Ravan, he was feeling so sad that Ravan abducted Sita Devi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him that Ravan could not even touch Sita Devi. What to speak of touch Sita Devi? Ravan couldn't even see Sita Devi. Because an evil-minded person, a sinful person, cannot possibly get to see the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Ravan came to steal Sita, it was a Maya Sita that Ravan stole. First of all, it was the pastimes of the Lord. That's why a person like Ravan could act like that. The Lord allowed this thing to happen. Jogamaya's arrangement made all this happen. Otherwise, how can Sita Devi ever be separated from the Supreme Personality of God? He is the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The eternal consort, Sita Devi, is always with Sri Ramchandra. They can never be separated. How can the energy be separated from the energetic? Can light be separated from fire? Can heat be separated from fire? So similarly, Sita Devi can never be separated from Ramchandra. It was just a pastime in order to arouse our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the pastimes to inspire us to become the devotee of the Lord, inspire us to surrender ourselves to the Lord, understanding His greatness, that these pastimes are enacted. And in order to put us, in order to keep us on the path of righteousness, that these pastimes are enacted for our benefit. The purpose of these pastimes simply to increase our love for the Lord, increase our devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this pastime, Ravan came to steal Sita. Then Sita Devi took shelter of Agnidev, who was there on the sacrificial, in the form of the sacrificial fire. In the Vedic culture, the custom is that the sacrificial fire is never extinguished. It always is kept on burning. So in that hut of Sri Ramchandra, this sacrificial fire was there. So Sita Devi took shelter of fire, Agnidev. Then Agnidev took away Sita Devi. And the Maya Sita was placed in her place, and Ravan stole that Maya Sita to enable that pastime to take place. So when the Agni Pariksha took place, when Sita Devi had to enter into fire, then Agnidev appeared. Then what happened? In that fire, when Sita Devi entered, the Maya Sita disappeared and the real Sita appeared. Now that she is with Sri Ramchandra, the real Sita appeared. So then Sri Ramchandra coronated Vibhishan on the throne, and Vibhishan became the king of Lanka, and Ramchandra then wanted to go to Ayodhya, because now 14 years is over. The 14 years of exile is over. So now is the time to go back to Ayodhya. Ramchandra wanted to go back to Ayodhya. And Vibhishan then arranged the Pushpak Viman, Pushpak Chariot. The Pushpak Chariot was a celestial chariot which was created by Vishwakarma on the order of Lord Brahma, and it was awarded to Kuvera, Ravan's half-brother. And Kuvera was the, or he still is, Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. And he was Ravan's half-brother in the sense they had the same father but different mother. Brahma's son was Pulastha. Brahma created 10 sons out of his mind. They were Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, etc. So from Pulastha came a great personality called Vishrava. And Vishrava's son was Kuvera. And through Kaikasi, another wife, he begot Ravan. Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan, 3 sons. So Kuvera was a very saintly personality, a devotee of the Lord, and very wonderful demigod. So Brahma awarded him with this Pushpakra, and he made him the capital, he made him the king of Lanka. He assigned Lanka as his capital or as his abode. And then Vishwakarma created that Lanka. But Ravan later on became envious of Kuvera, and he forcibly took away Lanka and Pushpak chariot from him. So Pushpak chariot is a chariot that flies with the will of the charioteer. Wherever the charioteer wants it to go, it goes by his will. So the Pushpak was brought in, and so they all got into the Pushpak chariot. Then Sugriv and Bibhishan also wanted to go with Ramchandra and Sita Devi and Lakshman. So they were invited. So all the monkey chiefs and many other monkeys got onto the Pushpak Viman. We can see how huge that it was. It has been described that there were thousands of monkeys on that chariot. So they flew through the sky, and it just started to fly on its own. And then Ram started to point out all the places where that they were seeing when they're flying by. Ram pointed out that the battlefield where different Rakshasa leaders fell. Ramchandra told Sita that is the spot where I killed Ravan, and that is where I killed Bibhishan, and that is where Bibhishan's head fell and blocked the main roadway, capital pass roadway, the main road, and then that is where his body fell in the ocean. That is where Lakshman killed Indrajit, and that is the place where Prahastha was killed. So Ram started to point out to Sita where all the big Rakshasas lost their lives. Then flying above the ocean, they could spot, he pointed out, the bridge that was built across the ocean. And then where the building of the bridge started, where the construction of the bridge started, on the other side of the ocean, at the tip of the Indian subcontinent, there was Setu Bandha. Ram pointed out the Setu Bandha. And Ram declared that is one of the most sacred places. And if one goes there and takes his bath in the Setu Bandha, he becomes free from all his sinful reactions, Ramchandra declared. Similarly, you remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the ocean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that now ocean has become purified. Ocean has become the sacred. And it can also, the entire ocean actually can purify the sins of the living entity. Especially the Bay of Bengal near Jagannath Puri. So, and then Ram pointed out to Kishkindha, the capital, kingdom of the monkeys. He said, this is where this is where all the monkeys were staying, and that is the Rishamukh mountain where I met Hanuman and Sugriv along with Jambaban, Mainda and Dribida, the five chief monkeys who are hiding there, who took shelter there in fear of Bali. And they also, there they received your ornaments that you threw from when Ravan was carrying you away. And by seeing those ornaments, I could understand that what they were saying, that they saw you being stolen away by, taken away by Ravana. I could recognize that it was you that Ravana was stealing, that flying away with, and this is the way he went. And then he pointed out this Pompa lake on the bank, so by the side of the Rishyamukh mountain. They could see from the top, it's a beautiful large lake, it's a celestial lake where the lake was filled with blue lotuses. The blue lotuses are very rare. And so after that they came to Panchavati forest, where Sita was stolen by Ravana. In Panchavati forest, they stayed for a long time, and at that time there Marichi appeared in the form of a golden deer. Ram went to give it a chase, and then Marichi allured Lakshman by calling out with imitating Ram's voice. And that way, that was the place where they stayed for so long, and they had so many sweet memories of that place, and also so many painful memories of that place. When Sita was abducted by Ravan, then Ram was so heartbroken that he was crying like a grief-stricken human being, forgetting his identity as the Supreme Personality of God. So then Ramchandra pointed out the Godavari River, and on the bank of the Godavari River, the ashram of Agastya. Agastya Muni is a great sage who, you remember, he actually came before Ram killed Ravan and instructed Ram how to kill Ravan. And he reminded about the weapon that he gave, the Brahmastra, he gave to Ramchandra, and he asked him to use that Brahmastra. And he also gave him a very special mantra called Aditya Hridaya Mantra. Aditya Hridaya, to invoke the mercy of Sun God. And then Agastya, then after that, they came to the Chitrakoot mountain, where this, after Ram left Ayodhya, he stayed first in Chitrakoot for a few days, few months actually, when Bharat came to see him, where Bharat came to see him. So he told Sita, pointed out to Sita, do you remember? That is Chitrakoot mountain, where Bharat came to see us. And in this way, Ramchandra pointed out to Sita various places where they spent time and enacted their pastimes. Then they came to the river Ganges, where Guha had his kingdom on the bank. And Ram met Guha in that, and he helped him to go across the river Ganges. He gave him the boat. And do you remember the incidents with the boatman? The boatman, when Ram wanted to give him some price for carrying across the boatman refused to take anything from him. And the boatman said that, I won't take any price from you now. But when the time comes, he actually said that the people of the same profession don't charge each other. So Ramchandra asked, how is that? He said that I take people across And you also take people across. I take them across the river and you take them across the ocean of material nature. So therefore, I am not going to charge you. But remember, when the time comes, then I will ask for, do you have to pay me back the price? So in this way, that very sweet exchange took place between the boatman and Sri Ramchandra. And then they saw the Saraju River and the outskirts of the city of Ajodhya on the bank of the river. So then Ravan decided to stop there. He didn't want to go straight to the city of Ajodhya. He first sent Hanuman to give the message to Bharat. Oh, in the meantime, before that, they actually stopped at the ashram of Bharadvaj Muni. Bharadvaj Muni's ashram was not too far away from the Saraju River. So he then stopped at Bharadvaj Muni's ashram, and there Bharadvaj Muni told him in detail how Bharat had been conducting himself for these 14 years. And he mentioned that Bharat could not conduct the affairs from Ajodhya because the city was so full of Ram's memory that he couldn't reside there. So he shifted the capital from Ajodhya to Nandigram. And in Nandigram, he, living like an ascetic, he put the shoes of Ramchandra on the throne, and as Ramchandra's representative, he was conducting the affairs of the kingdom. And he was living, although Ramchandra was in the forest, just as Ramchandra was in the forest living as an ascetic, Bharat also was leading the life of an ascetic there. He was not sleeping on a bed. He was sleeping on a mattress made of kusha grass. He was not eating anything cooked in a proper way. He was just eating some rice cooked in cow's urine. That was his food. For 14 years, he just ate that. And he didn't groom his hair. He matted his hair like an ascetic. Ramchandra remembered that when Bharat actually came to see him, actually when Bharat heard that Ramchandra, when he spent the night at Guha's place on the bank of the river Ganges, Ramchandra asked Guha to bring some sap of the banyan tree. And then he applied the sap of the banyan tree on his hair in order to make them matted. And Bharat also did that. When he heard that, he also got the sap of banyan tree and he matted his hair. And then Bharat was not wearing ordinary dress. He was like Ramchandra in the forest. He was also wearing tree bark to cover his body. So in this way, Bharat had been conducting the affairs. And in that way, Ramchandra felt that Bharat's austerity, Bharat's sacrifice was, Bharat's austerity was far greater than his. Because he was in the forest living like an ascetic. He was roaming around in the forest, hunting and sometimes used to hunt also. About that, Sita complained, why are you killing these innocent animals? So, whereas Bharat, while conducting the royal affairs, living in a palace, he was living like an asset. So Bharat's sacrifice was even greater. Bharat's austerity was even greater. So then Ram sent Hanuman, and Hanuman disguised, Hanuman assumed the form of a human being, a Brahmana, and he flew to Bharat to tell that Ram is coming, and he explained, he narrated to Bharat all that happened in the meantime, how Sita was abducted, how the battle took place, and how Ravana was killed along with his Rakshasa army. And all that he described, Bharat was so excited that now Ram is coming back. So Hanuman told Ram is coming back, but Bharat was so impatient, so he went out and looking, you know, where is Ram coming with Pushpak? And he started to rebuke Hanuman, saying that that by nature you as a monkey you are frivolous. Did you make any joke with me? like a frivolous joke, saying that Ram is coming, giving me all the hopes. And then Hanuman spotted that the sky became full of dust, and sky became dark, like a monsoon's cloud in the horizon, as if a cloud was emerging from the horizon. And Hanuman said that, see, the monkeys are coming. And then Bharat could see that that Pushpak chariot is bringing Ram there. In the meantime, another thing happened. I just remembered why the monkeys were not in the chariot, but they were running on their own. It's because when Bharat was in the ashram of Bharadvaj, I'm sorry, Ramchandra was in the ashram of Bharadvaj, then at the end, after telling about Bharat and all that happened, and he wanted to bless Ramchandra. He said, ask for any benediction. I want to give you some benediction. Ask for something. So Ramchandra said that let all the trees on the way to Ayodhya become filled with fruits and flowers. And let the trees be filled with honey. Why? Because Ramchandra wanted to take care of the monkeys. He wanted to feed the monkeys nicely, so that while they are going to Ayodhya, on the way, they can have a good time. So all the monkeys, when they saw that all the trees are filled with, by Bharadvaj's mystic power, that's what happened. All the trees became filled with delicious fruits and fragrant flowers. And not only that, they were so full of honey, it seemed as if the trees were pouring honey. And so the monkeys, then they had a great time. They, when they saw these fruits, they got out of the Pushpak chariot and they started to eat the fruits and somersault in the sky and proceed towards Nandigram. So when Ram and Bharat met, that was a very, very wonderful scene, very heart-wrenching scene. Ram and Bharat embraced, and Ram actually made Bharat sit on his lap like a younger brother, and both of them started to have a wonderful exchange. And Bharat told what happened, what did he do, for last all these 14 years, how he spent his time. And in course of their discussion, Bharat actually mentioned that the prosperity of Ayodhya, prosperity of the kingdom Kosal, has multiplied by 10 times in these 14 years. Ram was very pleased, and the citizens were all... In the meantime, the citizens of Ayodhya got the news that Ram returned. So the entire city of Ayodhya actually came to Nandigram to see Ram. So they all were so jubilant, and Ram was so happy to meet with them. And then when Bharat met Sugriv, Bharat expressed his gratitude profusely to him, and he said that we were four brothers. Now you have become our fifth brother. And saying that, he embraced Sugriv and he greeted Vibhishan, and then they all proceeded towards Ayodhya. Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, along with Vibhishan and all the monkey chiefs and Hanuman. So they arrived in Ayodhya, and there Vasishtha conducted Ram's coronation, and the water were brought from all four oceans, from four sides, and from 300 rivers across the continent, across the holy rivers, water was brought. And in this way, Ram's coronation was conducted. First, Ram's matted hair was shaved off, and he was dressed in royal robes, and the coronation was conducted in this way. And then Sita Devi felt extreme gratitude towards Hanuman, because it's because of Hanuman that all this happened. So Sita Devi was wondering what she could do for Hanuman, what she could give. She wanted to express her gratitude by giving Hanuman something. And so Sita Devi gave the necklace that Ram gave her at the time of wedding. For a married woman, that is the most precious possession. The possession that the husband gave, the necklace that her husband gave at the time of wedding. So Sita just took that and they looked at Lord Ramchandra. And Ramchandra, just for his permission, so Ramchandra said, okay, give it to him. So Sita placed that on the neck of Hanuman. So in this way, this whole pastimes of Ramchandra ended in such a sweet union. Actually, the Lord's pastimes always ends in a sweet union. There is drama, there is separation, there is conflict, these are all there in order to enhance, in order to charm the emotions of the observer. Here the listeners. We are not observing, we are hearing. But while we are hearing, what is happening? Aren't we seeing also? Through the hearing we see. So, just by hearing the Lord's pastimes, we actually see the Lord's pastimes. And more attentively we hear, that is, with more interest, we hear these pastimes, the more we'll be able to visualize these pastimes. And what is the outcome? What is the result? The result is we will develop our love for the Lord. We'll recognize how wonderful the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Don't we develop that feeling? The greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the magnanimity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wonderful character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wonderful glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing that, what happens? We automatically develop our appreciation for the Supreme Personality of God. That is why it is important that we hear these pastimes of the Lord. By hearing these pastimes, we actually develop our appreciation for the Supreme Lord. And this appreciation leads to devotion. This appreciation leads to surrender. We feel when we have such a wonderful master, why shouldn't we surrender unto him? When we do not know how great he is, we don't feel inspired to surrender ourselves unto him. But when we recognize his greatness, when we recognize how wonderful he is, when we recognize how caring he is, then the surrender becomes spontaneous. Then the surrender becomes spontaneous. We can't help it. And especially at the time of distress, at the time of difficulties, we naturally seek his shelter and support. So that is why it is so important that we chant and hear his glory. We hear and chant his glory. So yes, there is the hearing and chanting taking place in the form of chanting the Maha Mantra, but in order to substantiate the Maha Mantra, there is a need to hear about Krishna Katha and Ram Katha. With that intention only, these seminars are being conducted. So that by hearing, we develop our love. By speaking about him, we develop our love for him. By hearing and chanting. Did something happen to you all? So that is the purpose. So that's why we have to hear and chant. Another thing I have noticed, generally that we tend to give classes mainly emphasizing the philosophy. And also I notice that in those classes, devotees fall asleep. But I noticed one thing, that in this seminar, very few of you have fallen asleep. Or most of you are awake. It's not that some, I notice, when you fall asleep, I am actually an vantage point. From here, I can see all of you. But one thing I noticed, that very few of you have fallen asleep. That's a very good sign. And I was actually feeling good about that. Because what it actually meant? It meant that it is creating the interest in you that you are becoming more and more eager to hear. Why do we want to hear? And why... Or when we don't want to hear, when you lose interest, when you don't have, when it is not interesting, then we don't want to hear it. We fall asleep. But when something is interesting, if somebody may be sleeping, but if somebody comes and tells him that in a lottery he got $1 million, what will happen? Will he still sleep? Or he'll jump out of his bed and say, where? So when the interest is there, then we'll become wide awake. Wide awake means we'll be receptive. We'll want to hear more and more. So, and as I mentioned, that this is the beginning of this seminars. We are conducting it in Ujjain. And throughout the year, next year, we will have more of such seminars in different places. Like the next one will be in South Africa in January. Then in summer, we'll have one in Europe and one in America. But maybe there'll be more, because I don't want to have this seminar with more than 250 devotees. And last seminar in South Africa already reached that point. There were 250 devotees. So, and all these 250 devotees wanted to take part in the seminar. And so if that happens, then probably we have to divide it. If already 250 are there and more want to come, so there will be more than that, more than 200 devotees, 250 devotees. So probably we'll divide it into two. So if that happens, we are actually thinking that in South Africa we'll have two seminars instead of one. And in Europe, last summer, already had 200 devotees. And Radha Vinod was telling that now already from England there were about 200 devotees want to come. Where is Radha Vinod? Yeah. So how many are already signing up in England? Nearly 200. So already 200 from England only. So most probably we'll have one in England and one in Europe. We'll have a separate one in England. How many of you came from England? Raise your hand. Do you want to have the seminar in England or you want to have it in Europe? Europe. Oh. Okay, then we'll have two in Europe. But actually Radha Vinod is pushing me to have one in England also. Anyway, you sort it out among yourselves. And in America, of course, we had one. That one did not have that many. We had about 150 participants in the American seminar. But that was mainly because I conducted it at a distant place, away from our temples in Colorado. But this time we already decided that we won't do it in such a remote place. We decided to do it there because that place is very beautiful, on top of a mountain called Vail, which is the most prominent skiing resort. And being a skiing resort, it's also a very, not only a beautiful place, but it's also a very expensive place. So that was one problem. So probably this year, we'll have the seminar in New Jersey, near New Jersey area, near New York. And another one we'll probably conduct in the West Coast. One in East Coast and one in West Coast. And let us see, I find that these seminars are more productive, because otherwise, one of the reasons why I am conducting these seminars is because previously I used to go to various places where devotees are, and devotees used to invite me. But then last year when I had my heart problem, then the doctors told me not to cut down my travel. So But still, I had to go to different places, so I had to go to different places to, because I couldn't avoid stopping my travel altogether. So therefore, I decided that I will go to those places and let the devotees come. And I told them that all these years I had been going to where you are. Now you come to where I would be. Preferably to Ujjain, as you all have come here, so many of you. But many devotees cannot come to Ujjain from different distant places. Therefore, I decided to go to different continents, at least, like Europe and America, and had these seminars. And I found that these seminars are actually very, very productive and very beneficial, because through the, what actually happens when you are in this seminar, then you are away from your home. For 7 days, you are just in one place. Of course, that's not happening here. It is happening with most of you. You all are at one place, away from home, and you're fully absorbed in the temple activities from morning till night. And then you are having these seminars, which are actually very, very important. Hearing and chanting is our main business. And in this way, we are conducting our seminars just to facilitate you for hearing and me for chanting. So, and oh, another thing is that this year, I mean coming year in 2010, I also have been asked to conduct a seminar in Australia. So this is how it is happening. And I feel it is a proper utilization of my time as well as your time. Oh, there is a note from Nitai Chandra Prabhu, who is actually organizing this seminar. Thank you, Nitai Chandra Prabhu. Thank you for offering it to me, but I will offer it to Srila Prabhupada. You offered it to Prabhupada already?
Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't want to give me the opportunity. Okay, so fine, since you have offered to Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, so how did you all like this seminar? Anyway, you can write to me later on. Because I want to hear. It would have been nice if I could have offered you the chance to speak about the seminar yourselves. But I don't think we'll have enough time for that. And let us see, because I'll give you a chance to ask questions, written questions on this topic, because on a day-to-day basis I could not invite questions. But if you have questions, we will send them to me. So this is the first of the it's an Ujjain retreat 2009, Lord Ramchandra's illustrious pastimes, Volume 1. Okay. Ramante yogina anante, sattanande chidatmani, इति राम पदेनासो परम ब्रह्माभिधीयते. The supreme absolute truth is called Ram because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So it has three parts. There are four DVDs. Okay, essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of Brahma Samhita, day 1, DVD 2, Lord Ramchandra's illustrious pastimes, Balakanda, Lord Ramchandra's illustrious pastimes, Ajodhya Kanda. DVD 3, essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of Brahma Samhita, day 2, and DVD 4, Aranya Kanda and Kishkindha Kanda. Thank you very much. It was quite quick. Did you do any editing?
Yeah.
Who did the editing? Anshul did the editing. Okay. So inside it looks like this. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Thank you. So, the first question is Krishnarchan Das and Sanandan Prabhu. How come it's a joint venture? Okay. In the battle between the devotees and demons, the devotees on the side of Lord Ram were far more powerful than the demons. Hanuman alone could kill Ravan. However, in Mahabharata, the Pandavas were not as powerful as the adversaries like Bhishma Dev, etc. Why is this difference? So, you see, the ultimate consideration is the end. And you can see, like, here, the battle was, you see, the devotion, it is mainly because of the, you see, the pastimes are enacted for the people around at that time. Right? So, in Treta Yuga, the people are more devotional. Therefore, the display of the devotee's ability has been more profoundly displayed. Like the monk, Ravan is so powerful with sophisticated weapons that could even defeat the demigods. Whereas the monkeys are practically bare, with their bare hands they are fighting. So we can see how powerful they were. And sometimes we see, like yesterday there was, when Narantha challenged Angad, then we see Angad just made a, said, come, hit me. And he just stood there, hit me with your weapon first. And he did that with a spear, he hurled it at him. And by hitting him on the chest, which was actually meant to penetrate his chest, the spear actually broke into pieces. So that's the power that the devotees there are displaying. They're fighting with no weapons, just some stones and boulders and mountain peaks and trees, uprooted trees. But they're killing the demons like nobody's business. Hanuman, with single-handed, like when it came to Ravan's general coming to accost with Hanuman in Ashok forest. Like, what did Hanuman do? He threw the weapons at him. The general with his army, they were shooting their weapons. But what did Hanuman do? Hanuman just jumped up onto the sky and then he fell And when he fell, that the chariot and with the general, they got smashed. I mean, they were killing them in such an amazing way. So yes, that's true. The prowess that Ramchandra's devotees displayed was apparently more obvious. Their valor, their strength were more powerful and more obvious than the devotees in Krishna's pastime, like Pandavas. So we have to understand that in Treta Yuga, people were more pious and they could, you know, like they could display such prowess and they could appreciate such prowess. But as the time moves, you see, people's faith in the Lord and His devotees begin to diminish. So Treta Yuga, when it came to Dwapar Yuga, their faith was diminished. Therefore, the display of the prowess also was reduced. Now they're fighting two sides. And apparently, we can see that they were having tough times. Like Karna was more powerful in skill, more skillful in using weapons than Arjun. But ultimately, the end is the main factor. At the end, just as Ramchandra's devotees won over Ravan, at the end, Krishna's devotees also won over Duryodhan. And in Kali Yuga, it's reduced further. In Kali Yuga, it has reduced so much that the devotees are not displaying any power at all. All they are doing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So as the opponent's power increases, the devotee's display of their power decreases. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, there is no display of their power because the opposing power is so strong. Therefore, the Lord will take care of them in His own way. You see, in Kali Yuga, what will happen is the devotees will not fight with the demons. The demons will fight with each other and kill themselves, annihilate themselves. While devotees will simply keep on chanting the holy name and spreading the holy name. Another thing is that the devastating weapons that they are creating, they will drop those weapons on their own heads. And that's how the demons will kill themselves. Would you please describe the first meeting of Hanuman and Ramchandra, how they recognized each other? The first meeting actually took place in the Rishamukh mountain. In the Rishamukh mountain, they were told by Kavandha, who was actually Gandharva, cursed by a rishi. He was cursed by Indra. And he, being hit by Indra's thunderbolt, his head went inside his body. And he was to become delivered from that condition upon coming in contact with Ram and Lakshman. So then Kavandha got his, he was killed by Ram and Lakshman, and then he got his celestial form. And when he got his celestial form, then he informed that in this battle against Ravan, these monkeys will help you. So go and meet them. And they are in such and such place in Rishamukh mountain. So Ram, Lakshman and Sita arrived there. And at first, Sugriv thought that they were the agents of Bali came to kill them. But then Hanuman actually assured him that not to worry. They are not our enemies. From their appearance, it doesn't look like they are our enemies. So Then Sugriv told him that why don't you go and meet him? So Hanuman went to meet Ramchandra. And he told him who he was. And he told about Sugriv and his plight. And he told him about their condition and why they are in Rishamukh mountain. And then he asked, who are you? Then Ram told about his story, that he is the son of Dasarath, he has been in exile, and Ravana stole his wife. So this is how they found something in common, that Sugriva is in exile, being driven away by his elder brother, and Ram is in exile because to fulfill the vow of his father. And Sugriva's wife was stolen by Bali, and Ram's wife has been stolen by Ravan. So they, in this way, they had something in common. And Ramchandra also appreciated that this person, this monkey, is so eloquent. He is so gentle in his behavior. He is so respectful. I mean, in this way, he started to tell Lakshman that look at this monkey's wonderful qualities. So this appreciation developed in this way right from their first meeting. Vibhishan left Ravan because he was trading the path of Adharma. Vibhishan didn't, Bhishma Dev did not desert Duryodhan. Both Vibhishan and Bhishma are considered great devotees. Then why such a difference in their behavior? Ultimately, we have to understand that these are just their pastimes. Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. But the thing is, through Bhishma Dev, through these pastimes, what is being established is that the ultimate consideration should be to side with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Bhishma Dev was actually adhering to the principle or tenets of Dharma. He was more inclined to follow Dharma as it has been given in the scriptures. But he was not actually considering the ultimate conclusion of Dharma is to side with the or surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we see that Bhishma Dev was proven wrong. He sided with what he should have done as a pure devotee. What a pure devotee should do. He should say, let the dharma go to hell. I am going to go to the Supreme Personality of God. Just like Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit took Kshetra Sannyas. That means he took a vow of staying at one place, Jagannath Puri, and not leave that place. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, you cannot do that. That will be inappropriate. So Gadadhar Pandit's response was that all that Kshetra Sannyas and everything is just to get you. Just to be with you. So I am prepared to discard all these principles of dharma just in order to go with you. So that is the ultimate point, like Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, that these are all dharma. This dharma means these are the relative dharma. But the ultimate dharma is the sanatana dharma, that is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. So that's what Krishna suggested in Bhagavad Gita, that give up all these relative considerations of dharma and stick to the absolute consideration. Sarva dharman parityajya. This sarva dharma is actually the relative dharma. For the absolute dharma, mam ekam sharanam braja. That is the ultimate dharma, sanatan dharma. Would you please describe the incident of Hanuman tearing open his heart to show Sitaram there. So, yeah, actually, in order to show that Hanuman didn't have anything else but Sita and Ram in his consciousness, he actually tore open his heart and showed that in his heart there is only Ram and Sita. There is no one else, nothing else. And Ram and Sita along with their entourage. In the heart means, in the heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides with his entourage and paraphernalia. That means the heart actually becomes the spiritual sky. A devotee's heart is the spiritual sky where the Lord is eternally situated with his eternal consort, Sitaram. Why was there no photography or videography at the time of Krishna, Ram or Lord Chaitanya? Everyone would have greatly enjoyed them if they were present. You see, there was no, not only videography, not only tape recorders, there were no system of even writing, because they kept them in all these incidents and tenets, teachings, in such a way in their memory that there was no need for videography. And those days the development was more on an individual level than on a collective level. So when you can see it in your heart, right, when you can see the pastimes of the Lord in your heart, in your mind, then what's the use of videography? Right? When you can keep their instructions in your memory, then what's the point, what's the use of a tape recorder? Tape recorder is only an external manifestation of our brain. Right? Memory. Videography is the external manifestation of our pastimes that we see in the heart. So what's the use of all of them when we have a direct access to that? Okay, thank you. Aniruddha Das is asking, the most of the outside people, when they keep the Ramayan program, they read only the Sundar Kanda, not other Kanda. What is the cause? Kindly explain it. I think it's mainly because generally people are very attached to Hanuman. And Sundar Kanda is actually describing the glory of Hanuman. That's why. Sometimes they even worship Hanuman without Ramchandra. Because of their lack of information, lack of understanding. Why Hanuman has grown such full faith on Bibhishan, though has not well known to him, as it is the first time visit to Lanka? Deepak, who is Deepak? His question. Is it from blind faith? Prefixed? What is prefixed? Other cause. Actually, Hanuman explained that just by seeing Bibhishan's behavior, he could understand that he is genuine. He is not pretending. He said that if somebody is pretending, that somehow it will show up. He won't be hide. No one is able to hide his intentions completely. So from his behavior, it becomes obvious. But in Hanuman's case, he saw, in Bibhishan's case, he saw the way he spoke. That is the quality of a devotee. Devotee can see through the heart of the person. Whereas non-devotees cannot do that. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead recognized Hanuman. Just the first sight, he said, yes. He is real. He is for real. Similarly, Hanuman also recognized Vibhishan, that he was for real. He was a devotee. You cannot cheat, you cannot outsmart a devotee. Devotees are too smart. Because they see not with their eyes, but they see with their hearts. Quite a few questions. I'm sorry, today I'm not giving the break. Is it all right or do you want a break? Okay. Maya Sita remained in Lanka in Ravan's captivity. Then why Lord Ramchandra let Sita go from Ayodhya on the saying of a washerman? So we have to understand that Lord Ramchandra is the Leela Purushottam. I'm sorry, Lord Ramchandra is the Marjada Purushottam. He came to establish the Marjada of Dharma. And here he is actually showing how an ideal king must behave. So ideal king should be fully concerned about the welfare of his citizen, even at the cost of his own damage, own loss. And that was the highest example that anybody can ever establish. He sacrificed his wife just for the sake of establishing the confidence and faith in his citizens. In this respect, Prabhupada used to say that the Caesar's wife should be beyond anybody's suspicion, anybody's doubt, beyond any doubt. So this is from Aisharja Radhika. Guru Maharaj, I heard that before killing Ravan, Ram worshipped Durga Devi. Is that true? That's not in Valmiki Ramayana. This has been introduced by one Bengali Shakta guy called Krittivas Ojha. So in that Krittivas Ojha, in Krittivasi Ramayana, in order to establish the glory of Shakti, Durga, he introduced that one. They're all misled, misguided individuals of Kali Yuga in Bengal. Ram made Sugriva king of Kishkinda after killing Bali, the older brother of Sugriva. He made Vibhishan king of Lanka after killing Ravan, the elder brother of Vibhishan. Does this similarity in the action of the Supreme Personality of Godhead suggest any deeper meaning? Sudha Nidhi Das. Well, there must be some deeper meaning. Maybe you should meditate on that and let it reveal in your heart. This one is from Krishna Maheshwari. Okay. I have seen CD of Ramayana where Mriga Rishi gives curse to Lord Vishnu that you killed my wife by chakra and she died in separation of her son. I curse you that you will have to come to earth and we'll have separation of your wife. In Valmiki Ramayana, I didn't find that one. I heard that there are some people in Sri Lanka who worship Ravan. What will be their destination after leaving their bodies? Well, Janti Deva Brata Devan. So, the Ravan's followers will go to Ravanaloka, where Ravan is burning in eternal hell. Could you kindly explain the difference between the real Sita and Maya Sita that came from Agnidev from the perspective of the pain, emotion, etc. that she underwent during the Leela? Yamuna Priya Dasi. So, you see, the Maya Sita is actually acting as if she is Sita herself. Like, if she did not, then what's the point in being Maya Sita? Right? So, it was Maya Sita, but she is acting as if she is real Sita. Okay? I can't hear you. Later on you can ask. Why Lord never allows His devotees to die in front of Him? Guru Maharaj, if devotee leaves his body in front of Lord, the devotee straight goes to Golok. It is not that the Lord doesn't allow His devotee to leave his body in front of Him. There has been instances, like for example, Jatayu left his body in the presence of Lord Ramchandra. So Lord allows this facility to some devotees sometimes, but the point was that at the battlefield, the Lord did not want His pure devotees to give up their bodies for His sake. This is His pastimes. So this is from Acharya Ratna Prabhu. We will, Maharaj, we'll be very happy, we'll be very grateful if you can do such seminars every year in Kolkata as well. Actually, we decided to do the next one in Mayapur. Actually, Kolkata may not have that much facilities. Let us see. But I thought, maybe for Calcutta residents, Calcutta people, we can do a seminar. Yeah, we can do that. But in Mayapur, we are doing one. Next, we decided that the next Prabhupada Memorial Festival at this time will be in Mayapur. Thank you. Yeah, this one is from Krishangi. It is said that three names of Lord Ram is equal to one of Lord Krishna, and 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu to be to one of Lord Krishna. Yet in Ramayana, Lord Ram is said to be an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Also, Lord Ram represents 1/4 of prowess of Lord Krishna. Could you please explain this? You see, it is not so much about the potency that he is displaying. Actually, there is no difference between Ram and Krishna. Only as Lord Ramchandra, he is displaying only a part of his potency. Whereas as Krishna Chandra, he is displaying the entire potency. Similarly with Vishnu. But it is the effect of developing attachment to them. See, attachment to Vishnu or devotion to Vishnu is more in relation to material nature. It is the Vishnu's identity is the maintainer of the material nature. So that is the Vishnu form of the Lord. The Lord manifests Himself as Vishnu simply to display in order to create this material nature. That is the Vishnu aspect. Whereas Ramchandra's pastimes is as Maryada Purushottam, he is enacting his Leela You see, Vishnu is not enacting these leelas as such directly. Therefore, the attachment to the Lord through Ramchandra, through his leelas, are more intense than the attachment to Vishnu. Right? And attachment to Krishna, those Krishna leelas are so intense, so emotional, so intensely heart-wrenching, that attachment becomes the highest. So accordingly, the surrender also have the degree. Alright? There is no name anyway. How Sri Dhanuka was kept at Shiva Dhanuka, okay, was kept at Raja Janak's palace, and did it meant any special reason? You see, that have been described in the course of our discussion. I mean, who is this question from? Okay, so weren't you there from the beginning of the seminar? You were there from the beginning. Okay, it has been described. See, Lord Shiva, after his battle with, or maybe I did not describe that. There was a battle ensued between Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And in that battle, Lord Shiva was defeated. So then, Lord Shiva entrusted that bow to the demigods. And then demigods awarded that to the ancestor of Janak. And in this way, through the family line, the bow of Lord Shiva was in the palace of that dynasty. Whereas Lord Shiva's Vishnu's bow was given to Jamadagni. And Jamadagni gave it to his son Parashuram. Rishi Dhom is Raghav Pandit Das. Rishi Dharma is in the Treta Yuga, came to attain. Rishi Dho, what's the? I can't hear you. Anyway, is it Rishi Dhoma? Dhoma. So anyway, its spelling is Dhaumya. Dhoma. Dhoma was there from the, he was the Pandavas, he was actually the Kula Guru of the Pandavas. But Rishi Dhoma had been since Satya Yuga. Same Rishi. Just like Bharadaj. He is there in Ramchandra's pastimes, he is also there in Krishna's pastime. Agastya. So they are all there. They are still there. Why did Lord Ramchandra choose the monkey dynasty? Whose question is this? Anyway, I told you all to Tulasi Manjari. Why did Ramchandra choose the, is it monkey dynasty? Okay. That is yesterday I mentioned, Ravana briefly mentioned about that. That is, when Ravana got the benedictions from Brahma, that he would become invincible. He won't be killed by the devas, danavas, asuras, daityas, and he forgot about human beings and the monkeys. So he didn't ask for any protection from them. Okay. Then another thing was, Nandishwar once cursed him. Ravan laughed at Nandishwar when he was going to Kailash. Nandishwar was guarding Mount Kailash. So Ravan laughed at him because he had a monkey face. So Nandi then cursed him that the cause of your entire dynasty will be by the monkey. The monkeys will be the cause of your dynasty. So that's why the devas, the demigods, on the instructions of Lord Brahma, took birth in the monkey family. They are all demigods actually. Like Bali was Indra's son, Sugriv was Surya's son, Nala was Brihaspati's son, Neel was Agni's son, Moinda and Divida was Ashwini Kumar's son. So in this way, they all were the different demigods. The partial incarnation of demigods in the form of monkey. They were not monkeys, they were demigods. Just appeared to be like monkeys. And they behaved also like monkeys. Actually, when Lakshman chastised Sugriv and all the monkeys, after Chaturmas, when they didn't come back, Lakshman was very, very upset. And they chastised them. You monkeys? So that means that although they take the form, and they develop the characteristic also of that kind. As they were, when they were going to Ayodhya, they were eating all the fruits and honey, partaking to, and on the way to Ayodhya, they broke the garden of Sugriv. As you mentioned, that one should reject unfavorable family members in Krishna consciousness, can you please explain how can a Mataji living with family who are not favorable continue her devotional life, especially when it is to do with their parents? Anyway, it doesn't apply to you because your parents are favorable. Don't worry about it. Sometimes they left their families. Like the first Mataji who came to, forced her way into ISKCON is Mother Jadurani, Judy. So she just couldn't tolerate her family anymore. So after she came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, she was saying that, Prabhupada, I want to move in into a temple. But Prabhupada said, no, temple is not for the, ashram is not for the girls. And then she kept on insisting, but Prabhupada said, no, your business is to stay with your parents. Then one day, she just came over with all her bags and baggages, saying that I moved out of my father's house. He is not my father, you are my father. Now this question is from Mirabai and Malini. So I presume it's from Malini. What is the difference between Valmiki Ramayan and Tulsidas Ramayan, and why, which Ramayan should we follow? Yeah, Valmiki Ramayan is the original Ramayan. In Tulsidas Ramayan, there are some concocted ideas. So that's what Tulsidas Ramayan, Prabhupada did not encourage us to follow Tulsidas Ramayan so much. Although it is nice, Tulsidas is undoubtedly a devotee of Ram, but our business is to stick to the authentic one. So Valmiki Ramayan is the Ramayan. So if it is not in conformity with Valmiki Ramayan, we are not interested in that. All right? It was your question or Malini's question? Thank you, Malini. Why did you say Bibhishan was a Rakshasa? He was a good devotee. Lalita. Where is Lalita? Oh, very nice. Beautiful question, Lalita. Yes, that shows even a Rakshasa can become a devotee. Right? Bibhishan was a Rakshasa. But he became a devotee, and when one becomes a devotee, then he is not a Rakshasa. Right? So anybody can become a devotee. Demigods can become a devotee, human beings can become a devotee, Rakshasas can become a devotee, demons can become a devotee. Do you know there was a great devotee who was a demon? There are two such examples. One is Bali Maharaj, another is Prahlad Maharaj. He was born in a demoniac family, but he was a devotee. But when he became a devotee, was he a demon anymore? No. So that means anybody can become a devotee. Alright? Okay, thank you. Rangapuri Das, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam there are 12 Mahajans, authorities of devotional service. Why great devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Hanuman are not included? You see, they are Mahajans, no doubt, but 12 Mahajans have been selected at that time, but that doesn't mean that the 12, only these 12 are Mahajans. 12 are great devotees. There are many, many great devotees. A question may arise, then why Prabhupada is not mentioned in the 12 Mahajans? But does it mean that Prabhupada was not a devotee because he was not mentioned? No. They are exemplary in their own way, but actually anyone can become a pure devotee of the Lord. Can you please suggest any full detailed and bona fide editions of Ramayana and Mahabharata in English? Madhuresh Das. Who is Madhuresh Das? Yeah. You see, there are three translations of Ramayana and in ISKCON. Anyway, I can say about two. One is Krishna Dharma Prabhu's translation, and the other is Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's translation. So personally, I like Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's translation. And that's why at the beginning of the seminar, I suggested them to get that Ramayana. And we had the books also in our bookstore. So I'll suggest that Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's Ramayana is more, at least to me, it's more authentic. And the next question is Vijay. Who is Vijay? Okay. Oh, you have two questions. I'll keep it because give others a chance. Now the next question is Hema. Where is Hema? Okay. Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. There is some attachment which I should give up, and it's also a big obstacle in my devotional life. But Maharaj, still, it is so painful for me even to think to give up that particular attachment. So what should I do? So you will see, in order to get rid of greater attachment, you will need greater devotion. So as your devotion increases, it's a choice between two. Actually, it's all matter of attachment, whether Krishna or someone else. So when the attachment to someone else is more than Krishna, then you'll maintain that attachment, right? But in course of devotional service, when attachment to Krishna will increase, then automatically that attachment will wear off. Now it is appearing to be painful, because this attachment is greater than your attachment to Krishna. So I will suggest that cultivate your attachment to Krishna, make it increase, make it go higher, and then automatically this other attachment will become lesser. All right? Gopangana Devi Dasi. Okay, Hare Krishna. Kindly explain about the internal journey as you explained in the morning today spiritual life is internal journey. You see, spiritual life is an internal journey because it begins with the heart. Where is your heart? Inside or outside? So, see, the whole world is outside. And the heart is inside. So, you have to now go inside to go into the spiritual direction. But you have another option. That option is that actually this has been made by available to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our internal journey like that will not be so easy because we are so caught up with the external world. So whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested, that whatever you are doing externally, you do it for Krishna. You are cooking, do it for Krishna. Then all your family members will have Krishna prasad. Otherwise, you can do two things. You can either cook for your family members and feed them, or you can cook for Krishna and feed them. So do it for Krishna. You are living in a house, you consider your house to be Krishna's house. You are with your family, consider your family to be Krishna's family. So in this way, the external is becoming Krishnaized, which is the core of your heart. So this is the internalization process of Sankirtan. Through Sankirtan, we are internalizing everything and spiritualizing. Like, internalizing otherwise would mean that you have to go to the forest and cut yourself away from everything else and meditate upon Krishna. But that is not possible for practically anybody in this age. Therefore, that internalization process is conducted by the Sankirtan, through Sankirtan. You understand? Okay. So now I'll go to Bijaya's question. Even though time was very short, still on behalf of all devotees, we thank you and Prabhupada for this wonderful session in which you have covered all the main points with beautiful explanations. We'll look forward for your next session of your grace at Ujjain. Kindly tell us when next seminars take place at Ujjain or at other parts of India for us. Greetings unto your lotus feet. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, that the next one will be in Mayapur. So at least at this time in India, the next one will be at Mayapur. But let us see, as I promised, that we'll also conduct one in Calcutta. So we can probably try to have one in Calcutta also. So in India, I'm at least foreseeing two seminars, one in Calcutta, one in Mayapur. I'm not taking direct questions like that. Write it in a paper. Some more questions here. Mahapurush Das. Okay. रावण से युद्ध के लिए भगवान श्री राम जी ने अयोध्या की सेना का सहयोग क्यों नहीं लिया? क्योंकि रामचंद्र ने वनवास में गए थे और अयोध्या के साथ उनका कोई संयोग 14 साल के लिए नहीं था. The question is that why didn't Ramchandra take help of the soldiers from the army of Ayodhya? The answer is because Ramchandra was in exile for 14 years, he did not have any contact or connection with Ayodhya. Did Sita have any curse that she had to undergo so many troubles? Ratnamala Devi Dasi. No, Sita Devi didn't have any curse. as Ram was Vishnu and Lakshman was Sheshnag, who was Bharat? Bharat was Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna is Bharat, and Shatrughna is Aniruddha. Ram is Vasudev, Lakshman is Shankarshan, Bharat is Pradyumna, and Shatrughna is Aniruddha. Why the Lord chose the monkeys as his army? Is there any special special pastime behind this? Surangi Mataji. Where is Surangi? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we just discussed that Ravan had the boon from Lord Brahma that he won't be killed or defeated in a battle by demigods, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Daityas, Danavas, Asuras. So he had, but he forgot about him. He didn't take any protection from human beings and monkeys. So that is why Ramchandra, the Lord appeared as Ramchandra in the human form, and his soldiers were all monkeys and bears. Is it true that Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva before he built the bridge? I didn't find any description like that. But he can. He can do that. The Lord can worship his devotee. There is no harm. But my point is, I haven't come across that in Valmiki Ramayana. Again, the same question. Lord Shiva worshipped, Ram worshipped Lord Shiva in that space. Is that specified in Valmiki Ramayana? No. Premarupa Devi Dasi, you said that Lord and his consort can never be separated, hence the reason why the Maya Sita was created. However, in the pastimes between Radha and Krishna, they are almost always separated. Can you please explain this further? Premarupa? Okay. Yeah, that is the pastimes, as I mentioned. That pastimes are apparent appearance like that. They apparently appear like that. But in reality, they are not. Like in Golok Vrindavan, there is no separation between Radha and Krishna. In Bhauma Vrindavan, the pastimes, that separation is there. But then again, this separation is there because the love in separation is more intense than love in union. So that is why. In order to experience that highest loving exchange, that feeling of separation, not real separation. Krishna never left Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami says that Vrindavanam parityajya kutra katabi na gacchati. Krishna never even takes a step outside of Vrindavan. He doesn't even take a step outside of Vrindavan. He is always in Vrindavan. But due to Jogomaya, the gopis used to, and the residents of Vrindavan used to feel that Krishna has gone, Krishna has left. But Krishna was always there. So when they used to meet with Krishna, they used to think that they are dreaming. The son of Indra was a hero and the son of Surya was a villain in Mahabharata. The opposite in Ramayana. Why? Krishna Chandas. Yeah. Actually, Ramchandra's pastimes and Krishna Chandra's pastimes are opposite in many ways. That's true. So in this pastimes, Surya's son becomes a villain in Krishna's pastime, and Indra's son becomes the devotee. There are many such counter effect in Ramchandra and Krishna Chandra's pastime. Krishna Kumar. Where is Krishna Kumar? It's from the... Okay. Who is Sita and who is Vedavati? Vedavati was the daughter of a king, I forgot his name, who wanted to have Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as her husband. And that's why she was performing austerities in Himalayas. And Ravan saw her and became attracted to her, and he forcibly tried to enjoy her. And then Vedavati left her body before Ravan could even touch her, or just as he caught her by the hair, and she considered that her body has become contaminated. So she left her body, generating a fire from within her body due to her austerities. And she warned Ravan that she will become the cause of his death. And that Vedavati appeared as Sita and became the cause of Ravan's death. Okay, let me see. I have only 5 minutes. This is Udayananda Das. We should follow Lord Krishna and imitate Lord Ramchandra. Then what about Lord Chaitanya? Yes, Lord Chaitanya should be followed and, if possible, then imitated also. And Ramchandra, you cannot also imitate. In this age, it's not possible to even imitate Ramchandra, because Ramchandra is a king. So in order to imitate Ramchandra, you have to become a king, which is not possible in this age. Then this is Govinda Mandal. Govinda Mandal, okay. How Bali's killing can be justified? Yes, Ramchandra justified that. He said that because he belongs to the Surya dynasty, in the Ikshaku dynasty, they are the ruler, that family is the ruler of the entire earth planet. So to establish law and order is his responsibility. So because Bali stole Sugriv's wife, he caused a crime. And because of that crime, he punished him. Another justification he gave is that he is a Kshatriya, and it is alright for a Kshatriya to kill the animals, hunt and kill the animals. So, since Bali is a monkey, he had all the right to kill him. So this is how Ramchandra justified that act. Okay. He's asking, what about a seminar in Dhaka, in Bangladesh? So let me see. I'm committing so many seminars. Let me see if I can do that. Question, as you mentioned, this is from Saurabh Tiwari. Saurabh Tiwari. Okay. As you mentioned, different demigods came in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Then who is Hanuman? Yeah, Hanuman is the son of Vayu, the incarnation of Vayu, Pavan Dev. Pavan Putra Hanuman. Anil Maheshwari. Where is Anil? Oh, from the thing, yeah. Nikunja Juna Ratikali Siddhai Jajali Bhir Jukti Rapekshaniya Tatrati Dakshad Atiballa Bhasha Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Huh? Okay, I said that we'll answer questions only pertaining to this seminar. Snigdha, where is Snigdha? Can the devotees of Ujjain also attend the seminars going to be held abroad? Yeah, sure. Sure, if you want to come, you can come. Some say, this is from Ritudeep Gauradas. Ritudeep Gauradas. Okay. Some explain, some say that Mother Sita had to go through Agni Pariksha because she offended Lakshman, who is the Adi Guru. Can you please explain? I didn't come across any such thing. The Agni Pariksha, as I mentioned, is just the pastimes of the Lord. Okay, last three questions. Time's up. Tulsi Manjari, Guru Maharaj, you just mentioned that when gopis were with Krishna, in reality, they thought it to be a dream. So when dream of Lord or Guru, what does it mean? It depends whether it is a dream or real perception. It'll actually, sometimes those dreams can be concocted, a concoction of mind. But the way to test it is that if it is real, then the heart will be filled with joy. Those dreams of Krishna will fill the heart with joy. But of course, Krishna, dreams of Krishna and his devotees can always be auspicious. They are always auspicious. But to test it, that they are real and not our mental concoction, there we have to see that. That how, what is the state of our hearts? Anyway, this is a, I can't read it. Purna Pragya Das. Okay. Ramchandra did not worship Lord Shiva. Then what is the meaning of Rameshwar? Rameshwar means Ram is his Ishwar. Whose Ishwar is Ram? Not that Shiva is Ram's Ishwar, but Ram is Shiva's Ishwar. Actually, in the Setuban, who Ram called is Varun. And when Varun didn't come, Ram threatened that he will dry up the ocean. Then Varun appeared after the third day. Okay, I answered this one. So, all have been answered. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Jai Samabeta Bhakta Brinda ki. Gaur Premanande.